Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Jeroen Wijnberg, and today I'm going to talk about ProxyGuard, WireGuard behind the reverse proxy. So, very interesting title, so let's get started. So, a bit about me. I work at Cyan for almost 3 years now, and Cyan is an organization with actually one main goal, is fostering collaboration between all the different research networks around the world. We have a focus on Europe, so we have a research network in Europe. And we provide services to national research organizations and universities. For example, EduRome, you might all know it. It's here too if you can log in if you're still a student or you work for a research organization. But mainly this talk is about EduVPN, which is also a service that Cyan provides. And it's co-developed by other research networks. So I mainly work at EduVPN at Cyan, and I put on the Linux penguin in there because I'm mostly using Linux, even though I'm presenting this on a MacBook. It's quite funny, but no. In my day-to-day job, I write software for Linux, so this talk will be quite Linux-focused. So a bit about EduVPN. EduVPN, as the name suggests, is a VPN for research organizations. So it can be used by a university as an alternative to commercial software, so the Cisco or the Fortinet. And it's free and open source, so you can host it yourself. You don't have to be a university. You can run it at home. And it's pretty much a layer on top of existing VPN protocols. So I wrote on the slide OpenVPN and WireGuard. So WireGuard only since the latest version, but that version is already currently almost 3 years old already. So it started as OpenVPN, and OpenVPN has UDP and TCP out of the box, which is pretty nice because UDP is nice and fast, but on some networks UDP can be blocked, and then you have TCP as a fallback. And we made WireGuard integrated into EduVPN, but then it only has UDP because the WireGuard project only supports UDP out of the box. So yeah, why is this a problem? I already explained a bit. UDP can be blocked. There's still quite a lot of networks that block UDP traffic. And even if they don't block it, there might be MTU issues, either due to configuration errors in the network, or they intentionally try to block too large packets. And this, for TCP, this all works pretty well, but for UDP, in practice, you see quite a lot of problems. Think about hotels or public cafes. There's quite a lot of problems with the UDP traffic. You can get around it a bit by setting your WireGuard port to 443 or 53 for DNS, and 443 because of QUIC. So if you've seen in the last presentation, if QUIC gets more and more popular, then maybe 443 starts working quite well. But currently, there's still quite a lot of networks where UDP is just plain old broken. So we need to have some kind of fallback in WireGuard. And how do we want to do that? Well, WireGuard is a really slim and mean protocol. It's 4,000 lines of code, according to the white paper. Maybe nowadays it's a bit more or less, depending how you count. But if you compare that, for example, to OpenVPN, the open source component of OpenVPN is 70,000 lines of code. But that's excluding the cryptographic libraries. So if you count OpenSSL into that, you get a lot more. So OpenVPN also has more features due to that. So it has TCP support. And yeah, for WireGuard, that's missing. And they actually document it on the website. And they say, transforming WireGuard's UDP packets into TCP is the job of an upper layer obfuscation. So this is the aim of this talk, is creating this tool. And I'll explain a bit why I did not just use another tool that was already made. So finding a tool. Well, there are actually quite a lot of projects that tunnel UDP over TCP. And they just do this by taking the UDP packet and then converting it to a TCP socket with like a custom header in front. But some of them only had a client implementation and some only a server implementation. I wanted both. Still, there were some projects that still had this. They were either written in a different programming language. So for EduVPN itself, we preferred Go because we were writing all our clients now in Go. And if we had an implementation in Go, we could use that as a library. And also on server side, we already have some Go components, so that it would fit nicely in our packaging as well. And what we also would like to have is run WireGuard behind a reverse proxy. Well, this might sound a bit complicated or a bit why, but that's due to port sharing. So in Azure VPN, you have a reverse proxy for the API and for the web interface. And this can then run on port 443 and 80 on your reverse proxy. And it might be nice to have an Azure VPN server that only has these ports open. So you can have everything in your reverse proxy, and it would be like one configuration with everything in it. And this would be really nice. If we could solve all of these use cases into one tool. And if you run it behind a reverse proxy, you also get TLS for free. So it's a bit more obfuscation. So if there's networks that do some more packet inspection to check if it's actually TLS traffic and not just normal TCP, you might even have more luck with the tool. So that's how ProxyGuard started. So the first version in Go, immediately, I had some Go experience, so it was not that tricky. And even the first implementation was really easy, because it was just setting up a UDP socket, and that's in Go, you just have the standard library, you have a function to do that. And then you just you receive packets over this UDP socket, and you send it over a TCP socket. And you do have a client part and a server part. So, yeah, you do need to have two components. And the first part was without a reverse proxy, so it was just a simple socket. It did nothing with reverse proxies. And then there was a question I had is how to deal with cut-off packets. So first, I pretty much just took the packet itself and dumped it over a new socket. But with TCP, you can have fragmentation, and then the packets get split up. On the other hand, on the server side, you have to reassemble it into one whole packet again, because you need to forward the whole WireGuard packet to the other hand and not just a tiny bit. So I looked a bit at other tools, and there was this tool by Molvat, and they also implemented UDP over TCP, and they had the idea of using just a simple length header in front of the packet. So each overhead for each packet would be 2 bytes, because that's the total maximum length of a packet. In UDP. So what we pretty much do is in this tool, in the first version we made, is we have these 4 components. We have WireGuard and WireGuard server on client and server, and we have ProxyGuard client and ProxyGuard server. So this WireGuard client and WireGuard server is just the totally unmodified WireGuard project deployed on the Linux machine, and the ProxyGuard then is the tool that I made. Which is just a simple Go binary, and you would then have to set up WireGuard such that it would connect to ProxyGuard client localhost. So if you would look at the WireGuard show in your terminal, it would show that the endpoint is just your localhost ProxyGuard. And then you have to make sure that ProxyGuard on the server sends it to WireGuard on the server, and you get traffic back. And it's just a whole data stream of UDP packets. So there on the arrow on the left, it gets UDP packets and it converts it to TCP packets by figuring out the length of the packet and then adding that as a header in front of it. And then on the other end, on the ProxyGuard server, we can look at this length and then get the packet out of that, because that's many different packets next to each other. So pretty much the server is the reverse of the client, so the client converts UDP to TCP, and then the server TCP to UDP, and then back again. So yeah, you get a TCP sequence of the length and the packet, and you get that that's sent back to the client and sent back to the WireGuard client again. So it's not actually that tricky or innovative. So checking the requirements, we have a really simple implementation, so I really like this because, I didn't have to use any other tool. I could easily maintain this myself. I mean, I already have a really simple client and server. I think it was like 300 lines or so. It was not that much. And we have a Go implementation, meaning I could use it in our Azure VPN clients without like going through hoops of using other languages' foreign function interface. So what we do not have yet, though, is running it behind a reverse proxy to do port sharing or have any TLS yet. So let's take a look how we can do that. So reverse proxy, reverse proxy is like a web focused tool. So you need some kind of web protocol to proxy your traffic. So what should we use? Well, my immediate thought was WebSockets, and actually I did implement this in a branch in Git. But I soon figured out that WebSockets, yes, I used the library for it, and everything just worked, but it was quite complex, and debugging it and figuring out how it exactly works end-to-end for me was kind of a mystery. I'm not an expert on WebSockets. And I figured out, why would we even need WebSockets? We can just use the same exact methodology that WebSockets used, which I will explain on the next slide, but do not use this complex packet format for our use case because it did not make much sense. And yes, WebSockets is great, but it just does way more than we need. Let's do our own protocol. So let's reuse this handshake of WebSockets and keep the packet format the same as our initial version. So we have the sequence of packets with a length and value. And yes, you might say there's now 15 competing standards, as the XKCD says, but I would argue that there are still 14. We just have this one more standard that's very specific to our use case, which I still kind of like. It just makes it much more simpler for us to do our own thing. But also, the thing about the handshake of WebSockets is that there's a lot of different TCP relays that actually do the same approach, and they also have their own protocol-ish. So I think it's pretty fine for our use case. So how would that work? In WebSockets, you do a connection upgrade. You might have seen that on the previous presentation too. So you would send a GET request with a connection upgrade, and then the upgrade header is pretty much the name of your protocol. I call it UOTLV/1. It's UDP over TCP length value version 1. So if we ever want to increment the version, we can do that and then support it on both the client and server side. And what's cool about this is that if you have your own name for your protocol, you can set it up with, for example, Apache to only tunnel that specific protocol to ProxyGuard and ignore all the other bogus values. So in essence, it sends this handshake, so this GET request to the reverse proxy by the ProxyGuard client, and then the reverse proxy sends this to the ProxyGuard server. And we can then use this HTTP connection that has been set up to use the underlying TCP connection. And we use this TCP connection just in the exact same way that we have shown in the first implementation of ProxyGuard, where we tunnel the UDP packets. So it's just that the new version to support a reverse proxy use case has just one HTTP request as and a response again for switching protocols, which made it actually pretty easy. And the Go programming language had a nice interface for this, so we just had to make a tiny HTTP server and a tiny HTTP client, but it's not a lot of code. It was not that tricky. It was just that I didn't know about connection upgrades before. I thought WebSocket like specific to them. So it was kind of nice seeing that we could use the same approach. So I prepared a little demo. I will not do it live because, well, VPNs and network, I do not trust to do that live. So I have a small WireGuard config here. It's just an example of how a WireGuard config should look like with ProxyGuard integration. So important to know is that in ProxyGuard, you need to set the WireGuard endpoint to localhost because that's your localhost ProxyGuard. And then ProxyGuard takes care of actually sending it over the internet to the ProxyGuard server. This VPN profile is a full tunnel one, so which is important to demo because that's actually the most tricky to implement, because you then could have a routing loop because WireGuard has a kill switch. So if you enable WireGuard, it would only So with WireGuard, it's in the sense that if you enable WireGuard, it would only make packets go over the internet that are already encrypted by WireGuard. And in this case, well, we want to send it to ProxyGuard, and ProxyGuard still has to send it over the internet. And we do not want that WireGuard blocks ProxyGuard. So we need some kind of way of saying, hey, ProxyGuard, make sure that you can still send packets. And we do this with a mark, FW mark of 51820. And this value we also configure in ProxyGuard, saying the packets that are coming out of ProxyGuard should not be blocked by WireGuard. They have like the same mark of the packets as WireGuard itself. And then you need to set a listen port for WireGuard and then the endpoints of ProxyGuard itself. So we have this WireGuard config. We have ProxyGuard on the client, so we set that up with the same FW mark. So that's a Linux-specific feature. We have ProxyGuard on the server. We start that. So, and here I will show the reverse proxy config. So that's the same proxy pass match. So everything to this ProxyGuard fostemexample.org, this is the whole HTTP path. Tunnel that, to proxy that to the ProxyGuard localhost that I just started. So that's how it works in Apache, and you could also set this up with Nginx or Kadi or anything that would support proxy passes. And then I just say do WireGuard quick up to bring WireGuard up, and you can see here in WG show it has connected to ProxyGuard localhost, and I can ping the internet. So yeah, it doesn't work that much different from WireGuard. It's only that you have two more components to worry about. And also, yeah, routing can get quite tricky. The problem with this approach that I showed on the demo is that it's quite manual. Like, you have to set up a lot of different components. And we wanted to have good client implementation, so it could just work with one press on the button. So for Edge VPN, it's just another protocol. So here in the Edge VPN client, you see WireGuard, ProxyGuard. But we also made a fork of, our Windows developer did, he made a fork of WireGuard on Windows, where it would also support ProxyGuard, where it would say the proxy endpoint, which is the one you've configured in your reverse proxy. And you could just put up a tunnel, and this would be a new key in the WireGuard config. So some challenges. I explained that the initial implementation was actually easy, but it's just everything apart from that is just quite tricky. The whole client implementation, you have to support every OS, you have to support mobile devices. That can get quite tricky. And also, I'm only like a Linux dev myself, so I do not have experience on all the platforms, so all testing that was quite tricky. I could do some more performance testing and improvements. I didn't even speak about performance in this presentation yet. Like, no doubt it could be better, but it's a really simple tool, so maybe not that much more room for improvement. There's roaming and routing issues. So if your phone goes to sleep, we have an issue on Android where the ProxyGuard connection currently doesn't recover. That's something I have to investigate. And macOS, iOS. That's a platform that I want to support, but I didn't really actively test on it yet. I'm also working on a Linux daemon that automatically sets this up, so it would wait for a WireGuard interface to be brought up, and it would dynamically get all the WireGuard parameters and set up ProxyGuard. And it would automatically restart ProxyGuard when your phone recovers from sleep and when you're roaming networks, so you can immediately use the ProxyGuard again. Yeah, so that was it in a nutshell. The homepage is on Codeberg. So it's on our Edge VPN handle, but you can totally use it separate from Edge VPN. It's just a simple Go binary. And if you want to learn more about WireGuard, we're not an official WireGuard project, but they have a stand here at Folstam I learned about yesterday, so I added that to my presentation. If you want to get funding for open source, so Edge VPN has received funding before from NLNet. They're also at Folstam, and they have also cool stickers, so make sure to go there. And if you want to learn more about Chiant or talk to me in the afternoon here, we also have a stand. So, yeah, thank you for listening. And
Hang on.
By putting the packet length in your own packet,
yeah.
I was thinking that means it's not going to work with jumbo packets, but I don't think there's a use case to use that with jumbo packets, right?
No.
Yeah, so it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for your question.
One more.
So that you're converting UDP to TCP, so yeah. When you establish a TCP session, did you have a problem with time wait sockets? Because as I guess, you have many, many UDP clients which connect in, and sometimes there are the same client which reconnects quickly, but you draw up the same.
Sorry, I can't hear.
I mean that sometimes there are clients which reconnects very, very quickly, but they really finish his session, but is still using the source port.
All right. Do you mean that the
and
client
the time
is gone?
Wait, you can't now mangle the time wait timeout in Linux at least.
All right.
It's always
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah. It's a TCP is also tricky, but we also implemented timeouts. So if a client is gone, it would cut off that client after a while. So yeah, that is implemented. Yeah, if that was your question, but.
I mean, that how you are killing time wait sockets.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Also, that it takes time. You mean,
yeah.
To set up. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you very much.